Welcome back to Right Quick,
a bite-sized pop culture conversation with your favorite queer, unfriendly Black hotties.
Today we're unfriendly because Black romance movies ain't very romantic. I'm Nandi K.
And I'm Vance Go. And please say that again.
Yeah, that was off the dome because my God. Oof.
Say it again. Because
are we not? Black romance movies ain't really romantic.
I was struggling. I said this was harder than finding the three top Black movies. Cause like that was so many options.
Five.
That's why it was
hard. We had five. Yeah.
This, I mean, listen, if we wrong, please correct us. I checked in online and I did get some I got a couple of good.
Sure. Yeah, I saw that online. I saw you was sourcing feedback. I eyes emojis that.
You said eye emoji?
I sent an eye emoji reaction to that story. I said, oh, you sourcing. Oh.
No, I wanted to see what the girls are saying. Yeah, because of like when you say romance, like what are we even talking about? Like in
that's
this
crazy that we even have to be like, what are we even talking about though? When it comes to like that's crazy that's what we have to like.
Yeah. So what are we talking about today?
We're talking about our favorite Black romance movies, because you know love is in the air and stuff.
And this is a ranking episode. We're only doing top three because I barely got three.
I had three. I just want to say for the Black cinema episode, I narrowed down from like a list of 20.
Yeah.
I narrowed down from a list of eight. Eight was my biggest list.
That's still good. I would also say, I feel like Black romance, like rom-coms might be a blind spot for me because I did not feel like I had like the encyclopedia knowledge. And I had to rewatch Brown Sugar and Love Jones.
Yeah.
Because I feel like not that they're on my list, they didn't make it, but I just feel like they come up.
Yeah, they come up all the time. Yeah.
And I'm watching them like, why do these movies come up? Like Brown Sugar, maybe, but the Love Jones?
You know, straight people. I think like, I don't think a lot of stuff is romantic that some like cishetero people think is romantic.
I think it's like rom-coms are already like, especially 90s, 2000, or, you know, like rom-coms of a different era already on some other stuff. Add in Black people. Like Love Jones, he literally stole this lady's address and phone number and went to her home. And then her friend was like, she got a man. And he was like, oh, so he might shoot me. And then jump cut to him knocking on the door. I did laugh out loud. But I also
call
was like,
the police.
Call the law.
Lock him up.
And because it was Lorenz Tate, she was giggling and kikiing and ha-ha. And I'm like, okay, but he wasn't hot. Like, and you didn't think
right?
he was attractive.
And to his credit, it was Nia Long.
I said that several times in my recap that I think, yeah, I understand. Reciting a poem in front of a room full of people about Nia Long, even though you're not good at poetry.
Man, let me tell you, that's a huge turnoff for me. Nothing turns me off more than spoken word. Like, I cannot tell you my coochie dries up.
It's trash. I call it nigga. What do I call it? Nigga soliloquies, nigga sonnets.
Bye. You know what it is? Like when I was growing up, I was friends with some poets and they were really good. Like really, really good. And then when I graduated from high school, I would go to like poetry nights that they would be at. And then I started seeing that everybody wasn't that level.
No.
And then I dated like a hotep. Mm-hmm. Lesbian bitch, and she was like in strange competition with me, but she was doing spoken word.
Mm-mm.
And it wasn't good.
And it's always the worst person you ever met.
She was pretty bad. She was a compulsive liar. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, it was crazy. You suck. Yeah. I co-produced a open mic for 4 years. And it was mixed arts. It was everything. But if I never hear another poem before I die, it would not be too soon.
I wake up in the morning.
Right.
You know, I just, please spare me. Spare me. Anyways, let's not talk about what doesn't turn us on. But do we want to talk about like what constitutes a black romance movie?
Yeah. So I think it needs to be, black people need to be present.
Sure. Okay. Present. Whoa. This got a lot looser than the last ones.
Inside of the movie. No. So I put that it needs to be about love and our relationships, right? Which I think that kind of opens it up because, like, it doesn't have to be a rom-com per se. I think the idea of, like, and I mean, I think this is us talking, right? Because, like, is Color Purple the most romantic thing? It's not at all. But is it about, like, relationships and love and how love can transcend, like, pain and keep you alive? It sure is. So I don't have Color Purple on my list again, but I don't fuck off. but yeah, so those things. Do you have anything to add to just what constitutes? Again, that's loose.
No, it's that loose seems like that seems right. It's about I did kind of make mine centered around like romantic relationships, since like most of these are. There's not any, like, really any queer stories out there. So, like, these are all, like, cis hetero. And so, like, what I would expect is not what I expect from cis heteros. And so, yeah, I'm pretty excited that we have been tasked with choosing our three favorite black romance movies.
All right. So, who's going first?
I can go first with number three. All right.
Number three, who you got?
My number three favorite black romance movie is Deliver Us from Eva.
Oh, nice.
I love her. I'm a huge Gabrielle Union fan. It's a 2003 rom-com starring LL Cool J and Gabrielle Union, revolving around LL Cool J's character being paid to date Eva, aka Gabrielle Union, because she is like the mean sister. She has a bunch of fine ass sisters. Essence Atkins.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they fine.
Mel Jackson. Everybody fine is also in this movie. It's also considered a telling of the Taming of the Shrew by Shakespeare. Ew. Which is like super fun. How they do. But yeah, Deliver Us from Eva. I loved Gabrielle Union in her Mean Girl era when she was just like, mean and fine.
Dressing niggas down.
Yeah, I loved her era, and she was super fine in that. And I love how, like, LL Cool J, like, wears her down and, like, melts her down all just so they can get this. They all just want to date the sisters, which is also so funny to me. Right. I love it.
No, it's, I watched it last year. It's a fave of mine. It's just funny. Yeah, Evil Eva, Evil Gabrielle is great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay. Yeah.
All right. What you got?
From my number three, I went light. I said, what's a movie that's lacking misery? So I chose Last Holiday with our fave, Queen Latifah.
Yeah.
LL Cool J.
Hey.
Right. So he's the love interest. So yeah, it's about Georgia, who leads a life full of unfulfilled desires. Basically, she finds out she got a terminal illness, and she's just like, yo, I got a bucket list. I'm about to do all this shit. You know, Queen Latifah is a noted phonologist. She keep a fine man on her arm in every movie, only in the movies. And she bags LL Cool J, and I believe she don't die at the end. But like,
she does not die
like,
at the end. It's great. That's so, such a good one. It's a sleeper banger too, because I feel like a lot of people I saw over the past year were like, hadn't seen that one.
It's good, but again, Queen Latifah can't do no wrong to me. Like, I mean, I'm sure she'll prove us wrong, but you got me. Until otherwise proven, Queen Latifah is like my goat. I love her.
Yeah, love. Oh, that's a great choice. Well, that was really, really good. All right. My number two choice, all right, is Carmen Jones. Carmen Jones is actually a 1954 American musical featuring Harry Belafonte and Dorothy Dandridge.
Okay.
Also, Pearl Bailey is in it. It's a telling of Carmen. So the opera Carmen is like a black version of this. It's set during World War II, and it focuses on Carmen Jones, Dorothy Dandridge's character, a shameless vixen who works in a parachute factory. She gets arrested for fighting with a co-worker, and then she has to go to jail. It's like a military story, so like the parachute factory. She works for the military. Anyway, the person who has to take her to jail is Harry Belafonte's fine ass. They fall in love, even though he already got a fiance. Anyway, Harry Belafonte definitely dies at the end. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not a good story. Also, he kills Dorothy Dandridge, too, what? Because he's jealous. Oh, Joe is also jealous, even though he was the one. Anyways, it's pretty sad, but Dorothy Dandridge was nominated for an Oscar for this film. It was the first black woman ever nominated for lead actress in a film. And I recently read her autobiography. I mean, not autobiography, her biography. And I just love Dorothy Dandridge. She went through a lot. She went through a lot filming this movie, but her and Harry Belafonte together, baby, that is sex on sex when they be, oof, oof, sexy black people loving each other.
Is it a musical? Are they singing?
It's a musical, but it's not them singing. No, their voices are dubbed by real opera singers.
How do we watch it?
You can buy it, I think. I saw it on Prime. But yeah, you can watch Carmen Jones like on Prime. It looks like it's on Prime, Apple TV, YouTube TV. Yeah.
All right.
It's really good. It used to come on BET all the time when I was growing up.
I remember the hip opera, which was the Beyonce one, right?
Yes. This is
that's the one I remember.
No, 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 no. I don't wanna go.
All right, number two.
What's your number two?
All right, drum roll. My number two is a little movie called Deliver Us from Eva.
Oh, it's your number two. Okay.
Yeah, my number two. So, I mean, you already said all the things. So, yeah, that was my number two.
So good. Climactic,
but I'm glad that we chose, that we made. We got
What's your favorite parts about it? Like,
I just think it's, I like this. I like the relationships with the sisters. Mm-hmm. Like you said, I think it's very funny that the men, they're really incompetent, but they love their partners. And I feel like old school rom-coms is very, like, especially the white, like, from the white American lens or whatever, they hate their wives. So the fact that they love their wives, their girlfriends or wives so much, so they're like, we need to hire LL Cool J to get rid of the sister is very funny. So, yeah, the whole thing is just a bunch of, like, dummies trying to be with their girls and be happy. And I'm like, this is delightful. Yeah,
it is delightful. It's like kind of harmless, like fun.
Yeah. Like they're them being dumb is really the worst part. But otherwise it's like, yeah, this is nice. And yeah, I think Eva knows that they're trying to play her the whole time, and she ends up liking the nigga anyway. So it don't even matter at some point. Like, it's just like,
yeah, and then it worked out.
Yeah.
So it's very cute and sweet. All right.
All right, what you
number
got?
Number one. My number one is How Stella Got Her Groove Back. A 1998. Yes, it is. This is a Taye Diggs fan club podcast.
I had no clue, but sorry to interrupt you.
No, it's okay. So it's a 1998 American rom-com adapted from Terry McMillan's best-selling 1996 novel of the same title, which the book is also great. We had it in my house. Mind you, they made the movie so fast. Like, they said, baby, this is a movie immediately. It stars Angela Bassett, Taye Diggs, Whoopi Goldberg, and Regina King.
Also fine.
Every Angela Bassett in her prime fine at this time in the 90s. Like, Angela Bassett was like shaking the table fine in the 90s. And Taye Diggs, young Taye. Fake with Jamaican, that Jamaican yes. accent, we're yeah. not going to talk about that, Taye, but we're like, you looked so good and you're right. such a good actor, even with shook that accent, Winston.
Mm. Shook the table. Okay.
That's my number one.
All right. Favorite. That's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah. Oh. Older lady gets her pussy ate the right way and mm-hmm. it shakes something up in her. She did mm-hmm. make some mistakes, obviously. Like, she shouldn't have moved that nigga. She should have just had a fun time. Yeah. But.
Yeah. Did we talk about that on this podcast before, that movie?
No.
Because was it like...
We mentioned it because, like, we were talking about Taye Diggs on the Black Cinema, I think.
In real life, he wasn't the man gay eventually, like...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Jamaican man.
Yeah. And they was on Oprah. Child.
All right.
You're number one.
Number one for me. All right. The Best Man.
Hey, redemption.
Yeah, so 1999, the synopsis is just before his best friend's wedding, the life of a Chicago writer becomes crazy when his best friend guesses that his new book story is based on this bride's fervent past. I don't even like that they put that in it. I think it's just better that he wrote a messy book telling all his friends' business, and they all read the book and knew about it, and he showed up and was, you know.
Wanted to fight.
Literally got knocked between the washer and the dryer because he deserved it. Starring Taye Diggs, Nia Long, Morris Chestnut, Harold Perrineau, Terrence Howard, Sanaa Lathan, Monica Calhoun, Melissa DeSouza, everybody, Regina Hall, I gotta say her. Beautiful cast, I will say. Damn.
All those fine people are in that cast. Together. That's not fair. Regina Hall plays the stripper. I love her. You know, she's my birthday twin.
No, I didn't.
But we have the same birthday. I'm obsessed with her. I'm like, I love you, boo. She's
so funny. So, yeah, I mean, we all know the plot. I think that... it ain't really super romantic. Like, the people that got the most chemistry is him and Nia Long, which, like, they always do, apparently. But, and he ain't even supposed to be with her, which is trash. But anyway, Best Man, I said it before on this podcast, I think it has the best, like, as far as, like, it's not even a trilogy because it's two movies in a series, but I think it just has the best, like, no skips, you know, watching this beautiful cast grow and evolve, the characters grow and evolve. At the end of the day, it is about the love of the friends that they had, like the friend group, if you will.
Yeah.
There is romance in the series, and like, you know, again, because you see so much of it, you see them go through a lot of stuff. But anyway,
Best Man. It's like, what does love look like up close, right? Like, if you see love every day, you know, love every day isn't always like getting flowers and like. Yeah, I do agree that, first of all, I would probably say, like, The Best Man contains, like, that IP is, like, all the best Black actors that we have, like, of that generation, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, they're younger than, like, the Angela Bassett's and Denzel's, right? So, they're, like, the Gen X, I guess. Right. So, like, those are, like, our Gen X, like, Black stars, and they're elite. And I think one thing that makes The Best Man so good is like how talented these actors are. Like, you think they are these characters. You're not like, everyone is a good actor. Every single person there is a great actor. No one sucks. So I really love that too. Come on, Redemption. The Best Man on your list where it should be. Amen. Okay, right. I got some honorable mentions while we wrap up. Now, these might be controversial. Matter of fact, I know they are. My first honorable mention, Tyler Perry's Why Did I Get Married? I would almost argue that and Diary of a Mad Black Woman are his best films. But Why Did I Get Married is like... It's a masterpiece.
I think you got that right, because like just that dinner scene alone, where what's his name is like telling everybody's business.
Boom. That
you didn't get it from me. You got, what was it, Randall?
I forgot. You got it from Clarence or whatever his name was. Yeah, you ain't.
What? I ain't gay.
Baby, the way he jumped across, he got, they had Michael Jai White jumping across the table, choking a hoe.
Iconic. No, it's good. It's, yeah, it's, yeah, no notes. No notes.
No notes. To be honest. Like, I can't, it's, again, though, why is it the cast? The writing is literally so insane. It's not good writing. But everyone, except for Tyler Perry, is such a good actor. Everyone is a great actor.
Tyler Perry's straight in that, so he's doing great.
He's always straight in every movie that he's in.
I said so. A woman. Anyway, that's me.
Okay, and then my other honorable mention is the patriarchal propaganda piece, A Thin Line Between Love and Hate. With Martin Lawrence, Lynn Whitfield, my Mean Mama casting. If I ever cast my mama, Lynn Whitfield, if you're still out here, baby, I'm calling you, girl. You're perfect. I love that movie. It's so good. It shows, like, Martin, that's what you fucking get. We don't feel bad for you.
A full unwell lady told him, hey, I'm a full unwell woman. And if you mess with me, I have the resources to destroy you. And I will. And Della Reese told him,
hey,
our King, Regina King told him, like everybody told him, and he did it. And yeah, even as a kid, I was like, this nigga's dumb.
Like, I did think she was crazy, but like, you lied to her.
Before she
told you she was crazy, and then you lied to her after that.
She said, like, if you hurt me, it won't be good. Like she said it. Like, she said it in an unwell way. Like,
he also told her he loved her, and she was like, I'm not gonna have sex with you unless you tell me you love me. What? You can't have sex with people like that.
Manipulation.
It's dangerous. Anyway, Martin.
I'm a rapid fire mine, because I got a couple. Jump in the Broom.
Great.
Just funny. It's funny.
Come on, Paula Patton.
Paula.
Isn't Loretta Devine the mama?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Loretta Devine is his mama, right? Because it's like the ghetto mama. And then who's the bougie mama?
I forgot. Let's see. It's not Felicia Rashad, is it?
No, it's not.
I'm going to find out. Is her mama white?
No, I think
I can't remember.
Some like your aunties, your mama shit going on in there.
Yeah. I can't remember, but Tasha is also in that, I want to point out.
Who, Tasha Smith?
Yeah.
Is she? I got to rewatch it. I was going to say Moonlight, so contemporary, more new
ones. Oh, so good. Dang, I should have put Moonlight.
The Photograph. I think that movie is like low drama. low drama, artsy. It has Love Jones in his DNA, but I see your face. This is not a vision.
I just don't think the writing is like very good in The Photograph. Like, is it a story about love? Is it a story like what happened with her mama? Like, it was. I feel like this writing was like very unfocused, and the ending was like really unsatisfying. Like, they met at the Kendrick concert. That's how it ends, right?
I think she went to Europe to go see him or some shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people thought it was anticlimactic, but I'm also like, I feel like we're not getting a lot. Intergalactic, if you've ever seen it, it's on Netflix.
Yes, the animated one.
That shit, Jessica Williams.
Love Jessica Williams.
Hey, canonically, she be driving the boys crazy. She got that Demon Kitty canonically in whatever movie she's in.
Mm-hmm.
Kid Cudi, Jessica Williams, I think Macaulay Culkin, or Kieran Culkin. But anyway, that movie's good. It's like a contemporary good one. I think that's it.
Nice. Well, you know, hopefully people will make some black love stories that are like really like loving and like romantic, and don't feel like thrillers with like giggles, like
horror movies,
horror movies, or like, because you know, not listed here, but like we talked about it on the last episode, Love and Basketball. Like, that,
yeah, I was gonna say we'd be remiss.
Horror.
And I love horror, but not that type of horror.
Yeah, Love I don't Jones.
Love Jones literally could have been. It's the same Fatal movie. Fatal
Attraction with different music.
Fear.
All you have to do is change the music. You change the music of Love Jones, it's a, it's like it's, a here's it's The Shining. Like, it's The Shining. You change put some horror music when he steals her phone number and address.
She said, I know you got my phone number. Why are you okay with this?
Oh my God, girl. If you don't call the cops. Well, anyway. We did it.
Today's episode is sponsored by Black Love. Go get you some.
Hey.
Big thanks to our producer at Audio Adonis, Aaron Rand Freeman. I have been Vance Go. You can find me on Instagram at Sir Bot or wherever else you want to find me in your dreams. Who are you?
And I'm Nandi K. You can find me on Instagram, Threads, and Blue Sky at Nandi KAYYY. We'll see y'all. Stay romantic.
Right Quick is a podcast for The Agenda Productions, created by Nandi K and co-hosted by Vance Go. Aaron Rand Freeman is our mouthy producer. Theme music by Luke Santi. Art by Sonia Honeycutt. If you like what you heard, subscribe, rate, review, and follow us on Patreon at The Agenda Productions.